Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and you're listening to The Takeaway. The power is finally back on in Moore County, North Carolina. Tens of thousands of residents were left without electricity for nearly 5 days after a shooting attack at two power substations on Saturday, December 3rd. Homes lacked heat, even as the temperature dipped. Groceries went bad in powerless refrigerators. Schools and businesses were forced to close, and even driving was dangerous without electricity for traffic lights.
It's horrible. I've never gone through something like this. I am handicapped. I use a walker.
Nobody was prepared for this. You didn't just hurt the people that you thought you were hurting, but you hurt this whole community as a whole. You hurt everybody.
Now, during the power outage, one person was found dead in Moore County, and as of this morning, it remains unclear whether that death is connected to the power outage caused by the attack. Moore County officials and Governor Roy Cooper described the attack as malicious and criminal. And last week, the governor announced a reward of up to $75,000 for information leading to an arrest and conviction. While the motivation behind the attacks is still under investigation, the same day that Moore County lost power, a group of permitted protesters and counter-protesters gathered outside the Southern Theater in Southern Pines. They were there to protest the Downtown Divas drag show. That power outage came the same weekend that right-wing groups gathered in front of the Unitarian Universalist Church in Columbus, Ohio. They were there in protest of a drag story time, even though that event had been canceled. And of course, all of this comes just 5 weeks after a mass shooting during a drag performance at Club Q in Colorado left 5 people dead. In other words, what happened in Moore County comes in a context.
There have been over 120 attacks on drag events in 2022 alone in the United States. North Carolina and Texas have been top areas that have been targeted. And there's currently an unsolved string of attacks on the power grid in the Pacific Northwest. At least two of those attacks bear similarities to what happened in North Carolina on Saturday.
That's Lewis Raven Wallace, an independent journalist based in North Carolina, speaking at the Moore County Call to Action National Press Conference last Thursday. The drag show's headliner, Naomi Dix, also spoke at the same press conference. She'd ended her set early that night out of concern for everyone's safety. And she joins me now. Naomi Dix is a drag artist in Durham, North Carolina. Naomi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Naomi, tell me about what you were experiencing in the run-up to the performance.
About 3 weeks prior to the performance is when the marketing and promotion went out for the show itself. My face was front and center for the event. And as a result, we had a lot of pushback from local community within Moore County, specifically right-wing conservatives, who found that it was inappropriate that myself and my cast, and also Sunrise Theater, which was the venue that the event was being held in, were coming to the area to entertain the community. And shortly after that promotion, a lot of threats, specifically towards myself and Sunrise Theater, started through social media, through DMs, specifically through people who follow Emily Grace Rainey. Death threats came in, sexual attacks through DMs came in towards me, and there was a lot of pushback towards Sunrise Theater to ultimately cancel the event. But mainly their first tactic was to have the event change its age restriction from being an all ages show and family oriented show to being 18 plus. And once that was successfully done, it then turned into them trying to get the show canceled altogether.
Can you tell us what happened when the lights went out?
Sure. So I actually did not realize that the power itself went out. It was originally a part of the show based on my lighting cue list that was sent prior to the event, that the lights went out at that time in the venue, or as we would call it in entertainment, a blackout. It was not until my assistant and my security guard made me aware that the power was out, and then about 5 minutes later made me aware that the power throughout Moore County was also out. I then went out onto stage, made the audience aware of that, and then just to calm nerves, asked them to turn on their cell phone lights to illuminate the room, which was about 370 people. It was a sold out event, and asked them to join in singing Beyoncé's Halo with me.
And also joining us now is Sarah Kate Ellis, President and CEO of GLAAD. Sarah Kate, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, at the very end of last month, so just a few days before this happens in Moore County, North Carolina, the Department of Homeland Security issued a bulletin reading in part that there was a concern about lone offenders and small groups motivated and that they continue to pose a persistent and lethal threat to the homeland. And this advisory specifically talks about targets of potential violence include public gatherings, faith-based institutions, and the LGBTQ plus community. As the president of GLAAD, have you been working with federal authorities at all around this heightened threat environment? Have they been in contact with GLAAD about this?
Absolutely. We've been working with federal authorities. We've been working with the White House. There is clear and present danger against our community and threats against our community. And I appreciate you building the context around this because we've been tracking this. And over this past year, we've really haven't seen it at this level in over a decade, at least, if ever, quite frankly. So what we reported out a couple of weeks ago was 124 attacks on drag events. Just within that period of time, that was over a week and a half ago, we're at 140 attacks on drag events. But that's not just what's happening. What also is happening is that this starts with politicians who are targeting LGBTQ people at the beginning of the year with about 300 baseless bills restricting healthcare, free speech, sports against the LGBTQ community. Then there's this vile rhetoric that we're seeing that's amplified on right-wing media and spread across extremist social media sites. So that's where the organizing is happening that is leading to what we're seeing in real life is these firebombings of donut shops in Oklahoma that are hosting drag events and use of intimidation by bringing open weapons to protests, wearing military tactical gear at drag holiday events. So, you know, there's a real threat against our community right now. And we have been shouting from the mountaintops about this because we saw what was going to happen at Club Q. We knew this was going to happen just based on what we're seeing and tracking and connecting the dots.
And Naomi, in terms of connecting those dots, North Carolina is a particular hotspot for this. Both North Carolina and Texas having some of the highest numbers of attacks on drag performances. Just at the most basic human level, Naomi, are you afraid?
I wouldn't necessarily say that I am afraid myself. I am more concerned when it comes to my community. Not everyone within my community has the privilege of having support, not only having support by people within their local community, but just having support depending on where they live. If they live in more of a rural area, they may not have the support that they need. This is not only affecting just drag artists, but this is also affecting trans people. This is also affecting queer people as a whole. So when it comes to the question, am I in fear? I am in a natural fear of just being a queer person or a queer person of color. But I am more of fear when it comes to just my community in general.
Yeah, I mean, I heard you mention almost offhandedly, when my security told me, and it sort of pulled me up because it made me realize If you've already got security in place, this must mean you're already living with a sense of that heightened threat.
Most definitely. It's always good to take extra precaution. Thankfully, Sunrise Theater and a lot of people within the Moore County area knew of the attacks through social media and knew of the heightened danger coming from the conservatives in the area. So they all raised money to be able to help Sunrise Theater hire security for myself, which I had two security guards for myself, and hire security for the entire venue, as well as each one of my cast members that I hired for the event. So yes, again, it's always better to take extra precaution, but this is something that we now as drag artists have to be concerned for. When going into business with venues in general, we have to take that into consideration, not only to protect ourselves, but also to protect the safe space that we're facilitating and those who are coming into that safe space. We have to hire security to protect them as well.
Naomi and Sarah, stick with me. We'll be right back. More on rising drag phobia and its very real consequences when we come back. It's The Takeaway.
On the media, one former NPR editor's grievances are reverberating far beyond a Substack essay. He claims wokeness is ruining the place.
That marginalized people are storming the barricades and dictating that this story happens and this story gets killed and we're going to use this language and not use that language. That's not what I saw.
On this week's On the Media from WNYC. Find On the Media wherever you get your podcasts.
You're still with The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. We're continuing our conversation about Moore County, North Carolina, and the broader context of drag phobia. As we've said, investigators have not arrested a suspect or indicated a motive in the intentional shooting of two power substations in Moore County, North Carolina, just over a week ago that left tens of thousands without power in the winter for nearly 5 days. But the timing of that attack does coincide with a drag performance that was targeted by opponents for weeks. Still with me is Naomi Dix, a North Carolina-based drag artist, and Sarah Kate Ellis, CEO of GLAAD. Sarah Kate, why drag phobia? Why in this moment? You started to give us this kind of legislative context, the baseless attacks on LGBTQ adults and particularly on young people. What political motivation is served in this kind of stoking of fear?
Yeah, I think that what has happened is that the extremists on the right wing have found a way to continue to target our community and really have been able to amp up that targeting using right-wing media and social media so that, you know, what this does is it creates fear and it creates hostility and hatred against our community. And that for them, I think, distracts them from whatever issues they're not really addressing, like how people need to eat and put gas in their car and things like that. So they're taking a very marginalized community, the LGBTQ community, and putting a target right on our back. And if you think about this, drag shows have been in existence since, I mean, Shakespearean time. And drag shows represent not only fun and happiness and excitement, but they are political too, because they are, you know, it is when we take gender and turn it on its head. And I think that that is very frightening to folks in these extremist groups and these white supremacists. So they've really focused in on drag events. And these drag events also have always been a place to gather family, friends. And I think that now they're coming and they're saying, you know, they're using all of these grotesque terms of groomer, meanwhile, and saying that we're threatening children. Meanwhile, they're showing up with these, you know, these machine guns, literally, and firebombing these events. So I think that it's been a political tactic that has been working for them in terms of galvanizing their small minority. This is a minority of people, but they're organized and they're deadly. Just when in Florida, when Governor DeSantis was pushing forward his Don't Say LGBTQ bill, we saw a 406% jump online with slurs like groomer being used. So they're really trying to paint us into a corner of being terrible people. And they're using drag events as very visible moments to do that.
Naomi, let's talk about the kids, because this is one of the sort of pieces of misinformation and disinformation that are being circulated to stoke this fear. So what does it mean to say a family-friendly drag event?
You know, my job as a drag artist is, as I always have said and will continuously keep saying, is to facilitate and create safe spaces. It does not matter the color of your skin, your age, your background, your political views. I have had people who identify as Republican who come to my events. But again, this is why I do these shows in non-traditional queer spaces sometimes, so that those who may not feel safe or maybe don't feel comfortable with going into queer spaces because they are unsure as to what queer spaces are due to the lack of their education and knowing what they are, they feel comfortable. Families who have children may feel more comfortable coming into a space that is not a traditional queer space because it is more family friendly to them. But when we say family friendly, that is exactly what that means. As I always tell people all the time, you take your children to Disney World, you take them to Universal Studio, you have people walking around in costumes, you have people walking in wigs and makeup, you have your children take photos with these people, you have your children take photos with people who are completely unrecognizable in costuming. However, you are terrified or scared or creating a narrative that you don't want your children to go to a drag event. We're doing the same exact thing that you would see a character at Disney World or at Universal do. The only difference is that versus, you know, thousands upon millions of people at a Universal Studio lot or a Disney or at Disney World, you know, you might have upwards of 300 people or less at a drag event. We are here to not groom your children, but we are here to educate your children and to offer your children or just youth a space to be able to artistically find themselves, or a space for them to see representation or to see that there is a community out there. So to deprive the youth of local or just community art in general makes no sense. And me as a drag artist, I like to call us drag artists and not just drag queens or kings, but artists, because that is what we are. Again, we are providing and facilitating a space for anyone of any age to be able to see that representation and feel safe.
I want to, Sarah, come to you on this point that Naomi has made so beautifully here about creating safe spaces, about engaging full families, and maybe again to zoom in a little bit on the North Carolina of it all, but not just North Carolina, but rurality in a broader context and the ways that often queer young folk, actually young folk in queer in the broadest sense of queer, can sometimes find it really challenging to find safe spaces in rural and in southern places, perhaps even more so than in cities where there are kind of more obvious markers for finding safe spaces. What are the potential long-term consequences, in addition to the short-term violence, of this attack on spaces of drag performance?
This is targeting to erase us, right, as a community. And when you erase the visibility, you ruin the connectiveness and the connective tissue. So I think what happens is then these kids don't get to see who they are or the possibility. And we're already dealing with some of the ramifications of this extremism and this vileness against our community. The CDC reported last year that one out of every four LGBTQ youth attempted suicide. One out of four. I mean, every time I say it, I get chills. And so I think as we see these attacks heighten, as we see drag events need to cancel because of safety and security, we will see this directly affect those numbers on our kids, on our youth, who are being sent the message that their community is terrible, that it shouldn't exist, that it deserves violence against it, and they'll internalize that. That's what happened.
Sarah Kate Ellis is CEO of GLAAD. Naomi Dix is a Durham, North Carolina-based drag artist. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.